Okay, good morning. Today's class is Le'un Nishmat Yerachmiel Adonai Ben Gedaliah, Le'un Nishmat Tzion Ben Neima, success in Yirat Shemayim L'Sheva Ben Avak, Adiyah Ben L'Sheva, Shefa Ben L'Sheva, Reina Malka B'Tov Bashan, and Emet Ben L'Sheva. God willing, Refu Shalem of Rav Tzion Ben Neima, Rav Shimon Ben Yavna, and Rav Daniel Ben Sara, and God willing, Bezrat Hashem, May 3rd and May 4th, L.A., May 17th, Manhattan, Park East. Tonight's class is going to be on 8:30 Instagram Live, those who have Instagram. Okay, great class today. We're going to talk about the three concepts today. Lesson 34 in the Kutim Moran. We're going to do a book called Nefesh HaChaim by Rav Chaim Mevelazhin, and also a book by Robert Edmonds called Gratitude Works. And another book by Sonia Lou Raminsky, The How of Happiness. So, you know, one of my favorite things that I like to do is I like to blend Hasidus with modern psychology. It's probably been my most favorite thing to do. And I was preparing a class for my recovery center today. And I just wanted to talk about this concept, which is really beautiful. Before we get to the class, there's a simple, very, very simple thing that Reb Nefesh HaChaim says. He says, David HaMelech says, God is your shadow on your right hand. Just as one shadow mimics every motion one makes, so does God guide the higher world according to his actions. The Zohar tells us, if a person smiles, heaven smiles at him. If he's sad and depressed, heaven judges him with strictness. And so it says, serve Hashem with gladness, for a joyful person draws down joy from above. Indeed, whatever one does in this world evokes a similar response in the world above. So this is really Kabbalah. Kabbalah is so below, so is above. If we really knew that, wow, I'm controlling what's happening above, then I would fight as much as I can for happiness, as much as possible. So with this guy, Robert Edmonds, there's actually science behind this. And he says something very nice. He says, he talks about the science of gratitude. And he says, he gives a study, he says, there was a study that people who are grateful, right, that wrote down five things they were grateful for every single day, specifically, I think it's in the morning. They had five things they were grateful for, but they actually wrote them down. They had to journal them down. I'm going to give you the Hasidic version of it, but five things they were grateful for. Grateful people experience a higher level of positive emotions such as joy, enthusiasm, love, happiness, optimism, gratitude across the board. And the destructive impulses of envy, resentment, greed, bitterness went away. People who experience gratitude can cope efficiently with everyday stress, show increased resilience in the face of trauma-induced stress, recover quickly from illness, enjoy physical health. Many of these qualifiers. Consider these eye-popping statistics. People are 25% happier. They also slept 30 minutes longer, and they also increased their exercise by 33%. And this is 100%, by the way. I'm doing a lot of research right now in kinesiology by David Hawkins, and I just there's a way to test to see if you think of a good thought when you're lifting weights, you're going to actually lift more. You have more strength, and if you think of a negative thought while you're lifting, even the same weight, it'll be much heavier for you. I've tested this myself. I had like a very positive thought, and then I had a negative thought with the same exact rep, and it was a completely different rep. So a lot of times we don't want to do exercises because we're physically exhausted. Stress reduces your muscle strength by 50%. It's incredible. I mean, if you're very attuned to working out, you'll recognize, oh my God, how come I'm not in the mood? How come I'm not this? And it's very, very connected to what's happening in your life versus the workout. So here, the research is telling you, when I can go to sleep, sleep in Kabbalah, Kabbalistically, is a bittul. I can accept. When I'm happy, I can accept that, you know what, I don't have to control everything. Not everything's going to go my way. I can go to sleep like a baby and wake up and say, everything's in God's hands. But if I can't, remember, the obsessive control, the obsessive worry that people have because they can't let go is why they can't sleep. So they bring that problem into their bed that they're supposed to be going into the Shema. You're supposed to be completely into surrendering to a much bigger cause. Experience gratitude. So here he's saying the study's basically showing that if they were happy, they wrote down five things they were grateful for, I believe, for 21 days. Hold on, let me get the research exactly. But basically, they had to write down five things they were grateful for. They had to write it down on the paper. They had to keep a journal. Reb Nachman tells us you have to, it's better, which I think is a great idea, and I've suggested this to people, because sometimes they have nothing to say, they can't say it. So what they should do is they should write down the five things they're grateful for, and they can't be the same things over and over again, because then you're going to get gratitude fatigue. That means if you can't only see five things you're grateful for, then you got a problem with perspective. And you have to, you know, there's 1,000 things that can go wrong in your life. Just let somebody cut your water off one day, and you'll recognize how much you appreciate water. But the five things you have to be grateful for, and then it's very important how to get this study even higher, is by actually expressing those things. Rav Nachman tells us in Lesson 34 that he will bless you down as he has spoken to you. Specifically, this verse teaches us that it's not enough for a person to think about it. The Holy One, blessed be He, says you have to pray with a full mouth, since speech is the vessel in which you receive bounty. So write it down, write the five things you're ready for. And remember, this thing, the best thing to do this is right in the morning, because right in the morning you are prone to negativity. You just woke up from sleep. You're about to face the day. That's the day where the Yetzirah wants to remember this concept. If you kill a snake in the face, that's how you kill him. But if you don't kill him in the face, you're going to get bit in the heel. That means don't wait to complain. You see, the problem today is we have a lot of complaining, and then we're trying to be grateful in the middle of the day. And we've had so much complaining that the evidence is not matching. So it's very, very important to break a cycle. We don't have to always fix. Remember, a very, very important concept that I constantly tell. What we're always missing is always the awareness of why we're going through something. If you have the awareness of why you're going through something, then that problem is not complaining. It's an opportunity. It's very important. I can't express to you how much the importance is the awareness. And your Creator gives you awareness if you are grateful. If you're grateful, if this is the way you wake up in the morning, five things you're grateful for, and you really, really write it down, and you say it, number one, it puts you into the present moment. It gives you strength. It recalibrates your consciousness. It lets you refocus on what you need to focus on. And then say it out loud. And then what happens is the morning takes on a whole different morning. And he's saying here, some of the increased benefits are increased feelings of energy, alertness, enthusiasm, and vigor, success in achieving personal goal, better coping with stress, better feelings of self-worth and self-confidence, more generous and more helpful, improved cardiac health throughout their vagal tone, and greater sense of purpose and resilience. Is this not enough benefits? So why don't we do it? I don't know, because we're too busy. We don't have time. We're too busy to do anything. That's the problem. And because, again, when you get complaining, you start controlling, you have no dot, you have no energy. So it's very, very important. I can't stress this enough. This is also behind all my classes on his Bodhidut, why his Bodhidut is so important. It's because really his Bodhidut is this on steroids. Not only are you grateful, but now you're also doing accounting for what's wrong in your life, and you're asking God for help. So you see, his Bodhidut is this study on steroids. I would say his Bodhidut will improve your life by 50%. This is 25%. But of course, if you're grateful, you have more energy, you can exercise. If you're grateful, you're going to be able to sleep better. And that all runs together. Because if you exercise, you're going to feel better about yourself. If you're grateful, it's just a vicious cycle, one way or the other. And this is why we have to ask ourselves, you know, what are we doing? Can we take advantage of this 25%? And this is just a study. And it's funny how he also says, beautiful, that the word appreciation has two meanings. The first meaning is to be thankful, the opposite of taking something for granted. And the second meaning is to increase value. What you appreciate, appreciates. Where does he get this concept? Where do we know this concept from? Obviously, there's nothing new under the sun. We know this from Leah. When Leah had Judah, right? She named him Judah, Hod. Hod is Hoda'ah. Gratitude. I got more than I expected. Sometimes we walk into this world with a lot of expectations and a lot of, I'm owed everything. But Leah was able to be grateful because she got more than she expected. She thought she was going to have 3 kids. But the fact that she had 4th, then she started being great. Then she started calling him Judah. Judah represents us. Hod. Hod is all about Judaism. Hod is all about, we're Judaism. We're supposed to be grateful people. We're not supposed to be walking around complaining all day long and worrying about things we can't control. This is beyond and below our level. How we have fell down to this madrega, I have no idea. But we have to be grateful people. It's in our name, Judah. It's in our name, Judah, Judaism. You're Jewish, you have to be grateful, period. And that's where this word, whatever you appreciate, appreciates. Whatever you don't appreciate, just think of it, like every area in your life, you appreciate it. I constantly appreciate the fact that people saying, oh, thank you for doing the classes. Believe me, you're doing more for me than I'm doing, because there's no way. The fact that I have to plan a class at night, the fact that I cannot go to sleep without planning a class, the class that I'm always have to be on the top of my game, makes me grow tremendously. If I didn't have a podcast every morning, then all of a sudden, oh, Heat Game's on, let me watch the Heat Game. Oh, what's on the Netflix? I know I would be drawn to this. So the fact that I have to prepare, I'm so grateful. I never look at a class as a burden. I never look at it as, oh my God, it's too much. God forbid, opposite. I look at it, what an opportunity to not be comfortable by constantly doing this. So this is why it's very, very important you shift your gratitude. You go to a date, you're grateful. It's a different energy on the date. Instead of, what am I getting out of this? Am I getting a two? What am I getting out of this? It's just the energy-wise. It's when you're grateful, you just vibrate. It's a whole different people remember you when you're grateful, and people also remember you when you are bitter. And remember, bitterness is not on the outside, bitterness is on the inside. We know that the Jews were bitter, so the water tasted bitter. It's got nothing to do with the world outside. It's got to do with the interior mechanisms of that a person's dealing with. So what is this thing? What is this journaling that he's talking about here? He says, writing something down each day, we magnify and expand the source of godness, of goodness. Setting aside a time that recalls a moment of gratitude, you're associated, first of all, you stop the pattern of negativity. And this promotes a shift in consciousness. This is what he's saying here. So what he's saying here is 5 things you're grateful for. Do not repeat the same things over and over, because you're going to get gratitude fatigue. And instead of taking things for granted, take them as granted. It's a beautiful long sentence. Sometimes we say, stop taking things for granted. You should say, take things as granted. As granted instead of for granted. For granted means you're taking everything for granted. But if you take it as granted, it's a gift. Everything you get is a gift. You see the shift in that little word for or as? What a shift in consciousness. And we have to understand that the first thing dealing with the obstacle is obviously, I don't feel like doing it. That's really the remedy. Anytime you're going to do on something so great, because remember, again, I repeat this 1,000 times, gratitude gives you awareness. Awareness, that's what you need. If you have awareness, you have clarity in that situation, you have everything. If you don't have that awareness, then you're going to say, what am I going to be grateful for? I'm not married. I don't have the job I want. And that's the typical pattern that people follow. And they can't get the awareness of that's exactly the problem. The problem is you're complaining too much. You're complaining too much and you're not conscious. And because you're not conscious, you're not getting the awareness, and that's why you're not succeeding. And that's why we have no energy, etc. So this is why our sages tell us. Why does Rabbi Rush tell you right away you have a problem? Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Because he wants us to get the awareness. And gratitude breaks the obstacles. And that's exactly, you have a situation in your marriage. Thank you, Hashem, for this obstacle. Thank you for this chance to do tshuva. Thank you for this chance. This is why we say thank you. Because when we're saying thank you, it's also an establishment of emunah. The word gratitude, thank gratitude, it's also, you're saying, I have emunah. Why do I say I have emunah? Because you're combining the name Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elohim. Elohim is the name of God that is hidden from us, that's where all the judgments comes. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name of mercy. So when you're saying thank you, you're practically saying everything is one. There's no duality. The duality is only in my own head. So this is exactly why we have to have the gratitude. So it's 5 things. You have to say 5 things. I think his study here shows 21 weeks, maybe. I believe it's 21 weeks of his study that the study happened. And 25% happier, successful, better relationships across the board. Because exactly, when I'm grateful, I treat people like that. When I have healthy self-esteem and I'm in a good mood, I treat people completely different. If I'm in a bad mood, I treat them exactly the way I feel about myself. This is why our mood is a shadow of our self-esteem. Our mood is always telling us how we feel about ourselves. Because when we feel good about ourselves, we treat people better. So it really has not, It really has nothing to do with really the situation. It's really to do with our mood and what we're focusing on. What determines our mood is obviously what we're focusing on every day. So if you are focusing on gratitude, you can't really be angry. And that's why the morning ritual is oxygen for you to not get this pattern of negativity all day long. So again, start with it. If you don't believe in the religious thing, this is science. This is all science telling you gratitude works. It's a 21-day program for creating emotional... I'm sorry, it's 21 days. Doing this for 21 days had this studies. So imagine just 21 days. We're getting into Passover soon. You want to be free in life. We want to be free. People that are grateful are free. People that are not grateful are always... They have something to complain about. Remember what we're doing in Egypt. The whole tikkun of Egypt is what? Is fixing the ingratitude. We were complaining all day long. And the only way to fix something is exactly the opposite way you got it. Another great book by Sonia Lubrominsky. She talks about the How of Happiness. Another great, great quote. She talks about that there's a 40% solution. That normally 50%, studies showing that 50% of your happiness, and they did this by basically measuring identical twins. They said 50% of your happiness is very connected to your DNA. Connected to your parents. I strongly believe there's a tremendous correlation to DNA and you know, I know people that they just, you know, they walk into a negative room and they get developed. I mean, they're just so negative. And the parents are negative. There's definitely a genes there, that there's definitely a DNA that you have a tendency for negativity. So 50% of it could be passed down. Okay, so again, we're not a victim. Obviously, we can question this. But there is definitely some people are just happier just without making that so much effort because their parents are happier, whatever it is. Let's just take the data. So 50% is fixed. You can't do anything about it, according to her. I would say the number is a little bit, but she's got research to say that's the number. Now, there's another 10% of her happiness that determines by life circumstances, whether you're successful, whether you're rich, whether you're not, where do you live, etc. You know, I think living in Florida will give you an extra 10% automatically. Now you have to deal with the 40%. The 40% is up to you. 40% is based on what you focus on, your emotional, your mindset, your perspective. That's the 40%. So let's say you have to work on your 40%. And remember, the constant message here is one thing. This is difficult. There's in both all the research and studying of any kind of happiness, it's all telling you the same thing. Without effort, you're not going to just get lucky and be happy. I'm just lucky that I'm happy. It takes tremendous amount of effort to be happy. Rabbi Nachman said it's the harder than anything. Sometimes you have to even fake it to make it. Other times you have to borrow it. Whatever you have to do, you have to get there. And he's saying here, she's saying here that it takes tremendous effort. We talk about that all the time. That, again, the effort is very connected to resiliency. So how you bounce back from situations is also connecting. And she gave 12 happiness activities that people could do to develop this momentum. Number one, expressing gratitude, we just spoke about. Number two, cultivating optimism. Number three, avoiding overthinking and social comparison. Obviously, we said that 1,000 times. Number four, practicing acts of kindness, getting out of your head, you know, doing kindness. Number five, nurturing social relationships. Number six, developing strategies for coping. Number seven, learning to forgive. Number eight, increasing flow of experiences, right? We want to focus on being, not having. Number nine, savoring life's joys. Number 10, committing to your goals. We know we are meant to commit. We are meant to hit goals in our lives. Number 11, practicing religion or spirituality. And number 12, taking care of your body through meditation, physical activity, etc. Very, very nice. Pretty much those 12 things. I strongly agree with those. Those 12 strings help you with happiness. She also spoke about exercise, the concept of exercise. There was a study showing that how there's, let me give you the data exactly. Give me a second. Hold on. Exercise versus Zoloft. There was a study in 1999. Researchers found that recruited men and women 50 years old and over, suffering from clinical depression, divided them into three groups. The first group was assigned for 4 months of aerobic exercises, three days a week, for 45 minutes. The second group to 4 months of antidepressants medication, Zoloft, and the third group did both. The assigned exercise involved the three supervised 45-minute sessions per week, cycling or walking or jogging, some moderate high intensity. Remarkably, by the end of the 4th month intervention period, all three groups had experienced their depression lift. They all had a lift in depression with fewer dysfunctional attitudes and increased happiness and self-esteem. Aerobic exercise was just as effective as treating depression as Zoloft. They said aerobic exercise, working out, is pretty much the same as Zoloft. It means if you didn't take the Zoloft and you just worked out, you got pretty much the same effect. So sometimes, Rav Nachman says this in Lesson 9, that the best way to break sometimes by breaking a sweat, you can come to Simcha. So we feel much better when we work out. We release negative energy. But just working out, I strongly recommend. That means right now you have statistics. Get to the 5%, get yourself 25% edge right away by doing the five things and doing the morning ritual. Second, work out. Third, eat better. Happiness is at the end of the fourth. Then, once you do those three things, then let's go through your problems and let's deal with them practically. Versus, I'm not practicing gratitude, I'm not working out, and I'm eating terribly, and then I'm looking at my problems, they take on a life of its own. That's why I tell people, let's do the things that are automatically going to make us feel good right away. When you do those things, you're able to now look at your situation completely different. And that's what it's all about. When you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at will change. Versus looking at something without any mental capacity to deal with it, no physical activity, and eating terribly, and you expect to, you expect the sun to come out and be happy. You understand the problem? We have to create momentum, Rav Nachman tells us. Momentum through Azamra. Create that momentum. Once you get that momentum going, then that's the time to deal with it. She also recommends another great concept. And she says, rumination versus negativity mood leads to toxicity. What does a cow do? Takes over the same thought over and over again. Correct? Right? That's what cows do. We just learned about kosher cows. What does a cow do? What happens to cows, unfortunately? They get slaughtered. If you're in a bad mood, do not become a cow. That's not the time to ruminate. The combination of rumination and negative mood is toxic. Research shows that people who ruminate while sad or distraught are likely to feel powerless, self-critical, pessimism, and generally negative bias. Imagine you're in a bad mood, frustrated, anxious, whatever. Research tells us that that's not the time to ruminate. That's the time to take a break. Don't ruminate when you're in a bad mood. Take a break. I'm in a bad mood right away. I go do something else. I'll go to cryotherapy. I'll go work out. I'll play music right away. Get out of that mood right away, because that's not the time. When you're in mochem kadnut, when you're in a negative state, that's not the time to deal with things. Like we said many times, you cannot fix a roof when it's raining. That's the time to take a break, because it's going to lead you to toxicity. So distraction is very, very important. Don't ruminate when you are in a bad mood. And another thing she's saying is self-comparison and happiness. Again, stay in your lane. The more we are, studies are showing also, the more people are on social media, the more they're comparing their lives. And it's funny, it's unrealistic goals. People have unrealistic goals. Like to look, you're not a model, Sometimes these pictures are just put people in an unrealistic, but this is what you can't focus on it also. So there's also a tremendous amount of anxiety coming out of self-comparison and comparing yourself to other people. Stay in your lane. So these are toxic things. Comparison, self-comparison, ruminating, etc. So remember, let's get that 25% advantage right away. You have 25%. Science is there, whether you believe it or not. You believe in science? There you go. Start with five things. Non-negotiable. That means you need to wake up. If I told you can be 25% happier, but it's going to cost you 15 minutes of sleep, you tell me, no, I need to sleep, then we got a problem. Then we got a problem. Then we don't have enough self-esteem to even try. Wake up 15 minutes earlier. This cannot be done while you're in the car. No. This has to be done, written down. You write it down. You focus on it. And whatever you focus on is what you're going to get. And as that happens, this is just the science. I can give you the Kabbalistic of being gratitude. It breaks obstacles. It gets you to the... It makes you exit your problems. It brings emuna to you. It brings chesed, kindness. Spirituality, I can do this class for 3.5 hours. But this is just the science. I mean, you can't fight the science. Science is science. So let's start with 5 things. Write them down and then express them. That's your Hizbo Didut. If you have nothing to say, write down exactly what you said. And you'll see, because you're focusing on this, because you wrote down 5 things yesterday, you're going to say, wow, tomorrow I need to come up with 5 more things. Because I can't say about the same 5 things as yesterday. And then that's going to expand your mind to expand to focus on more gratitude. Do you see what I'm saying? As you start, your perspective widens, you become grateful for the smallest things. And then you'll say, wow, that's a great opportunity tomorrow morning to write it down. You see, now you're combining the night and the day together. You're combining what's happening in your life, which is finding, what does Rav Nachman say? He says this in lesson 1, finding the chachma in everything. Finding the wisdom and finding the light in everything. Now your whole day becomes a day of mindfulness of what you're going to be grateful for tomorrow. Because remember, we need to have a new game. We can't just come with the same game all the time. So it forces your mind to start thinking about different things to be grateful for tomorrow morning. And then the next day, you're going to find more things. And here you go, next thing you know, the end of 21 days or whatever, hopefully be the end of your life, you have like 1,000 things you're grateful for. And that's how you're going to expand. And as you start becoming more grateful, then automatically what happens? Complaining goes away. Bitterness goes away. You see the thing? Our sages always tell us the same thing. They tell us, when you're dealing with darkness, don't focus on the darkness, just bring light. Don't try to understand the darkness, but just bring light. Bring light to that area of your life. Hashem, help us all that we should be zochet to break all our obstacles through this gratitude. Have a great day.
It was interesting, my life coach, I have 2.